We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at wyxr.org.
This is the Daily Memphian Midday News Brief. According to information released on Monday by the Shelby County Sheriff's Office, two inmates have died at the county jail in recent days. Aaron Fleming reports that during a press conference on Monday, Chief Deputy Anthony Buckner said an inmate died on Saturday.
Buckner said Sherman Weekly, 22, was found unresponsive at the jail shortly after 4:15 a.m. The death was apparently due to a suicide. A second Shelby County jail inmate died Friday afternoon, January 31st, from an apparent fentanyl overdose. Buckner identified the inmate as Justin Seegerson, 41, who died after experiencing a medical emergency at the jail and being transported to the hospital. For the Daily Memphian, I'm Aaron Fleming.
The city of Memphis could sell XAI about 13 acres of land in southwest Memphis. The 13 acres would house a gray water plant, saving the region billions of gallons of fresh water annually. XAI applied for a permit to construct the water reuse facility last year. The Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation still needs to approve the permits. The company would pay the city $820,000 in cash for the land, according to sale documents posted on the city's website on Monday. The land is directly between XAI's Southwest Memphis supercomputer and the city's TE Max and Wastewater Treatment Plant. For Samuel Hardiman, I'm Natalie Van Gundy. More on these stories and others are available at dailymemphian.com.
We had a quarrel. Yes, we did. The other day, we both got angry, so angry. You walked away. Now tell me, darling, truthfully, was that the right thing to do? People are saying shame on me.
Shame on you.
I don't remember just how it all started, but I know right now we're parted, and I'm so brokenhearted. I wonder, do you feel the way I do? Let them talk, shame on me.
Shame on me.
But shame on me. I've been waiting here by this telephone, calling you like a fool, hoping that you would soon come home. It's way past midnight, and I know you're overdue. But I feel kind of funny inside, because I know I'm still truthfully deep down in my heart in love with you. I know some of these things you're doing is just for spite. But if you just answer the phone, tell me that you love me one more time, everything would be alright. Darling, as I look at the clock on the wall, time is drifting so fast and so swiftly away. I wanna say, oh, tell me, what's the use now?
What's the use now?
I guess I'll just give in. Operator, call that number again. She knows I'm sorry, and I know she's sorry too. I don't care what they think if they say shame on you, 'cause I'll say shame on you.
Shame on you.
Hello, baby.
Shame on
you. I'm glad you're home. You know, I just want to tell you that I'm sorry. Yeah. You know I love you, darling. Just being silly, that's all.
Happy, happy, happy to everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice. That was a hot song. Shame on me. And I'm going to tell you something. On this conversation today, it's all about how do we stop having so much shame on Memphis. And I tell you, I am that girl that comes from the good old church. And I think in the many times, a lot of things that we can solve if we get back to church, right? And our men and women of God that are leaders, they have the capacity to help us change the narrative that we're seeing in our communities. Again, I am your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin, right here on WYXR 91.7. Let's have a talk with Talisa. And I tell y'all today, I'm super excited about this talk and to have this talk with this man of God that is my guest today, because I am all about, we know what the problems are. But are we really ready to have the conversations of how do we solve the community's problems? Because one thing we know in our community, we got some challenges, but I do know that we got some opportunities. And how are we going to take over the opportunities and stop focusing on the challenges? And so I was like, you know what? I think that's a perfect conversation, because I have my dear friend, and he's always got his fingers on the pulse of the community, not just in his Walker Homes community, but the entire Memphis city, because he has a heart for a community. And so I've asked the proud pastor of Greater Paradise Baptist Church on New Horn Lake Road, but he's also a man of God that literally serves and supports everybody in this city. And so I was like, you know what, Pastor Stokes, I think we should have a conversation like we have on the phone, on the radio, have some solutions of what we can do to make things better. So you're welcome with me too. Let's have a talk with Talisa Franklin, the one and the only Dr. Pastor Bishop. Hey, all those names, right? Gregory Stokes. Hey, Stokes, how are you?
Good morning, Dr. Franklin. I am marvelous, and I thank God for this opportunity to be able to come live with you, amen, on the air to, amen, see what miracle that God has waiting on Memphis.
He sure got one. I believe it. I believe it with my whole heart. I believe God. And so, Pastor Stokes, before we dive in and let's have this conversation, because I do believe that somebody is going to be listening and they may say, man, that's a light bulb. I can do this or I can do that. Because for me, growing up in the church, I saw the church solve a lot of our community's problems.
Absolutely.
So first and foremost, tell people, who is Gregory Caraway Stokes?
Well, actually, if I would just be humble as I am, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can handle our situations. That was a song in my growing up that the old church used to sing that said, God specializes, and he can do what no other power can do. Hey, I love the Lord. I have a relationship with him. I've been in ministry right at 40 years, and I just thank God that he has given me a heart for people, a heart for the community where I reside. And I am the only pastor that I know of in my area, Barton Heights, Walker Home, West Junction. I call it the West Side community out there that proclaimed to be the bishop of my area. Amen. And the mayor of this part of my city.
Yeah.
I thank him for my community. I have a relationship with the community as a whole. And we've worked in so many areas. We've been a blessing to so many people, and that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. And I do laugh, y'all. If you know me, you know Stokes, and we always are laughing, but we also having conversations. How do we move Memphis forward? How do we make things forward? And you know, Stokes, like, of course, you're in your age group, and I'm in mine, right? But one thing we both have agreed on, that the church solved our community problems, right? People believed in the power of God, and they believed on what the pastor said.
Always have.
Period.
Always have. Dr. King was not a politician, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. King was a preacher, pastor, a servant, and it was through even prior to that, you know, the church has always been active and involved. And I just thank God that he picked him out to be a part of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a fella said the other day at his inauguration that he wants to see the dream come true. Mm-hmm. So it's a continued movement even through the church. And I just thank God that those who have that kind of relationship with the church can catch on to the vision. Mm-hmm. And certainly without the vision, we're going to perish.
And so I know this is MLK. I know that it is Black History Month. You brought up Dr. King. If, in your opinion, if Dr. King was alive today, will you think, how would you think he would feel the way, let's say, African Americans are acting for all that he fought for?
You remember, last night talked about the Gospels,
mm-hmm.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in that, in the Gospel, when Christ went into the temple and he found what was going on in the marketplace,
mm-hmm.
amen, it sent him somewhere. So mm-hmm. he immediately grabbed a whip and started whipping them out of the temple. And I think if Dr. King would come back today, he'll have two whips, one in each. One in each hand.
Hold that thought. So y'all know I'm live on the radio, WYXR 91.7, and I'm also live on Facebook, right? And so there is a dear pastor of mine, forever be Pastor Derrick K. Shack.
Yes.
I gotta tell you what he just said. You belong, I belong to him. I got to get you on, Pastor Shaq. Let me know. I want to bring you and the boys on my radio show, on the real, okay? So let me get back to the real radio. Y'all just know I just flew it. I'm just doing me, right?
And so it's community. And not only does Pastor Shaq doing a great job at Greater New Liberty, but he's at the Westwood.
Yes, he is.
High school down there. And he's coaching.
Yeah,
he's
it's going to be a winning team. Don't get ready.
He's interacting. You know what? Everybody can go to Mitchell Road and coach, but he's interacting and he's in the community and he's doing a wonderful job. And that's what we need. The mm-hmm. harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few.
Absolutely.
Everybody want to be grand and I don't want to stand grand while the people are perishing.
Mm-hmm.
We say the answer is, if my people
mm-hmm.
that are called by my name would humble themselves, pray and seek mm-hmm. his face, and then we will get an answer.
Yeah.
But we don't want to seek his face for the problems that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want the bigger this, the bigger that, the finer things in life. But what about our boys in the hood?
Yeah.
You know, what
and
about,
our boys in the hood need us.
Absolutely.
And I know the girls need me, right?
Oh, sure.
And I love speaking into their life and just thinking, many people, Pastor Shaq has been my pastor, love him dearly, but I've watched him keep his finger on inner city boys,
right?
I've watched him, and then I've watched him keep his finger on inner city boys. Now we see those boys are not men. Now they are fathers. Now they're contributing to the community. They're really making a difference. And so, again, I've watched you take young men and let them just do little frivolous stuff, right? But you want to show them they can make an honest living
Absolutely.
By doing what's right. Then I've also seen you take young men and teach them how to be a man, right? Because there are some young men that were single mothers and they may not know how to tie a tie. They may not know how to put on a suit.
Mm-hmm.
There's times I've seen you really put your hands on men, young men, to help them be a man.
Absolutely.
And so that goes back to the community of our churches. I know for me, I love speaking into young girls' life because I know that's a call on my life
mm-hmm.
to share my story so they don't have to cross that bridge. I already crossed it for them. Just come on, let's go.
Right.
But what can you suggest that with pastors like yourself and pastor like Pastor Leon Jones has a basketball thing every night and like every Friday night. Pastor Ricky Floyd that's actually got his hands on the pulse of the Husband Institute. You have Pastor Anthony Sledge as I am he. But I saw so many pastors, but we still have a lot of pastors and clergy just standing in the pulpit and they may not be able to get hands on. But what can they do? What can some of your peers do from the pulpit to ignite change in our community?
Well, I actually become a team player.
Yeah.
You know, we're in this thing together. Jesus had 12 disciples and each one of them had a role. And actually, if we would just take care of the area I know some other guys that came up with this concept before, mm-hmm. but very few are doing it. Take the area where God has planted us in.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the harvest was plentiful, the labor's a few.
Yeah.
And Memphis have held this testimony a long time. We got more churches and gas stations on every corner than any other city in the world. So if we would just blossom and be that light
yes.
in the community where God has planted us at, and then the increase will come.
So there is a lot of people saying, I hear you, Talisa. I hear you, Stokes. I hear you, Jones. I hear you, Shaq. But y'all telling us, but will you help me? Because I do believe there is some pastors that have a desire to do more, but all they know is John 3:16.
Okay.
So how can they take for God so loved the world that he gave his own? If that's all they know, how can they apply that to the community so we can change the trajectory of our community?
T, listen to what you said.
Hey.
You said they all.
All they know is John 3:16.
Hold on. Do they really know that?
Oh, okay.
Now, if they knew John 3:16, for God so loved the
world,
that would take care of the area. Charity starts at
home.
And then spread abroad.
Before, yeah, yeah.
Before you go out to the world, amen, right around in your community.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that's homeless.
Yeah.
Guys that's on drugs. Guys that's breaking and entering. The guys the guys that keep the security guard busy on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
while we're trying to work. They're right there in the heart of our community.
Yeah.
And I've got to give my community their props.
Okay.
I'm at Horn Lake in Mitchell Road.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Horn Lake in Mitchell Road. And we don't have a problem. That problem with making sure there's a God on the lot.
Yeah.
Because when our prisoners come, being afraid to leave the car and come to the building, or while we're in worship, somebody's is going to break an enter.
Mm-hmm.
And I hold that to God so loved the world, that Stokes so loved his community,
yes.
that when I'm in the community, hey, Pastor, what's up, Pastor? Hey, yeah. How you doing? And they know not to come across the street.
Yeah.
Because Pastor can come back over there and get his stuff.
And you know, it's funny you said that. I remember as a little girl, y'all, that if somebody was drinking a beer,
yes.
and they walked by the church, they would try to hide it so granddaddy wouldn't see it, right? There was a level of respect. If somebody smoked a cigarette,
yes.
they was not going to fire up that cigarette on the church lot. Yes. They was going to go hide. Other words, they wanted to hide their sins.
When we were boys and we would be coming home from school and walking down the street
yeah.
in front of the church, and somebody would be cussing.
You gonna shut.
Somebody in the crowd said, ooh, we, that go to church, man. So it was a respect.
It was respect. So how do we, because a lot of times I talk to young girls. Y'all know my ministry is about women, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked a young girl, hello there, my baby, Devontae Hill. Y'all, Devontae Hill, why don't you come in and get on this conversation? Y'all know I'm so fluid. At 12 o'clock on Wednesday, y'all don't know what y'all may do or what y'all may see. Go open that door for Devontae. He can come jump in this conversation. It has to be that the church brings back the respect, because I know when I'm talking to a lot of young people just don't respect the church anymore, and it's imperative that they respect the church, right? And so listen, y'all, listen, I'm fluid, and because I'm fluid, I done pulled Devontae Hill in this conversation. So let me let y'all hear a little song so I can reset my set. Y'all, we just gonna have a little conversation, because this is all about let's have a talk with Talisa. Don't play no games with it, because I'm all in this.
Your friends just the other day.
Oh, yeah, that hit there was Since You've Been Gone, Baby. I hope I went gone too long right here on WYXR 91.7. I am Dr. Talisa Franklin. Listen, this show is about Have a Little Talk with Talisa. And today I had my dear friend, Pastor Stokes, in because I really want to see how can the church continue to build capacity in our community to see change. And then I saw my dear brother, y'all know I'm so fluid, Devontae Hill, so all these young boys now, like my little nephews, I saw him passing by, and I made him come get on the radio, y'all. I can do that. Only I can do that. So what's up, Devontae Hill, what's preacher, on, pastor, all that?
How you doing?
You know what, babe? I am good. How are you?
I'm absolutely blessed. Blessed. Love this topic that you guys are facilitating today. Such an important topic with today's climate, our social climate, everything that's occurring in our community here in Memphis and Shelby County, everything that's happening from the White House down to the schoolhouse.
Yes.
It's just a time for us to get close to the Lord and get mm-hmm. close to our community and come together and. Just a very relevant topic that you're addressing today.
And so here I am, y'all, and this was very fluid, right? I had Pastor Stokes because I wanted from a senior pastor that's been pastoring our community for 40-something years mm-hmm. that's truly doing the work. And then you passed by a younger pastor that started pastoring in Memphis, and God sent you abroad to take the message, but also... You know, you may not be pastoring the church, but you're pastoring your community.
Yeah.
Because I've seen you take, boy, I don't even want to tell you how I've seen you take a little and made much. I said, what is this boy doing? What is this boy doing? I need my switch. What is you doing? But whatever you believed in, you had people to follow you.
Yeah.
Whatever you believed in, Stokes, you had people to follow you. Absolutely. Whatever I believe in, people follow me, right?
Yes.
So how can we use our voices? We say we are true representations of Jesus the Christ. How we can take it to us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, yeah. the world. So not just us, our family, the world. So if we all come together, how can we change and shift the trajectory? I ain't talking about right now, Memphis world, because baby, we in the world.
Whew. Memphis is certainly in its own world right now, and I think what if we were to address this in a way that could be revelatory to not just Memphis, not just Tennessee, not just the United States, but also certain political parties. Mm-hmm. I think if we were to address it that way, I'd like to use the scripture where it says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about young men and young women dreaming dreams and having vision, and the old and the elderly having dreams and visions as well. I think that we have to remember that every person has a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think the church and the body of Christ, we have served ourselves a disservice by selecting who we're going to serve and who we are not.
Mm.
Yeah.
We have decided which sin is probable for us to give service to, God's service to. And because of that, we have lost a full generation of people.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that people overcome by the blood of the Lamb and yes. the word of testimony. And when people don't tell what they went through,
woo.
Instead of sweeping it under the rug, you got a generation of people now who are faced with these similar struggles, and they have no concordance of how to navigate through these spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to just get real serious about meeting people where they are. Got to get real serious about it.
You know, I believe, and I tell people, if I'm hungry, and if I'm out evangelizing, don't tell me, let me pray for you. Baby, let me get you some food. Then you'll be more than happy to hear what I had to say to pray.
Yeah.
Because you telling me I'm going to pray for you, and you walking by with your burger. Baby, give me half your burger. I saw yesterday, I was at church in my Uncle Daddy's church, and y'all know I served there. And I brought him a Chick-fil-A, a sandwich, right? So we had some people working, and one of the, he said, have some. So sometimes we say, have some, but we really don't mean it, right?
Yeah.
And I was watching him, and I know his heart is genuine, right? He took his knife and cut that chicken sandwich and gave that man half, and I got a video of it, I was laughing, gave that man half of that chicken sandwich and those fries. eyes like you don't know what you did to that young man to give what you have.
Yeah.
How can we give what we have back to this one community and we see how people know how to love each other again? Just like you was walking by. I'm sitting in my front room. I'm at the house, at my Douglas house. I'm sitting in front room, my big picture window. I see little Devontae running. I'm coming to the door like, come in here, boy. Come in this house, right? And you didn't question me. You didn't say I had something else to do. You just came, right? Uh-huh. How can we do that again, Pastor Stokes? That when you call on a young brother and you see him doing something wrong, you say, stop that, boy. It's consequences to your actions.
So are we sincere about our calling? Are we sincere about our calling? God so loved the world, that's what we were. That he gave, and that's all that we know. So do we really know that? Do we really believe that? And we got to believe it enough that we teach our conviction to my brother. And you remember back in the day, if you did it out and Miss Jones said you did it, don't call her no lie.
Yeah.
Because what Miss Jones saw was gold. And so we need some Mrs. Joneses in our lives and in our communities that will have that same love, that would be willing to spread it. Now everybody shut the door. You talking about looking out the door? They don't look out the door. We got doorbell. We got cameras.
Yeah.
And if it ain't on our folks, then we don't want to get involved.
Right.
But the problem was then was everybody's problem.
Yeah.
And so until we come back, you know, there are some things with the old school that we have to delete. You know?
Yeah.
But there are some things that we must maintain that we may continue to share. You pass it on to the next generation.
Yeah.
I knew we was gonna have some problems when my age group, when we were leaving, it started then, we were leaving, we would go to school, go out of town. And we get our degrees, instead of coming back, we keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then those that was in the city, when they was able to get a decent job, first thing we did, we moved out of our community.
Into the suburbs.
But we never looked back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I hear that, Pastor Stokes, that's our generation. So, Devontae, I want you to chime in, because our generation, I started having MySpace at the very end, right? Y'all never had MySpace. Y'all had pick up a phone with a long 100-foot cord and walk through the house. We didn't cord this one. Y'all don't know about that stuff.
Now, he's telling you about y'all. She's telling your age.
But we did move up to Beeples.
and two ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here you are now, Devontae. World has shifted, and I believe this little thing here can either help us or hurt us.
Yeah.
In many ways, it has hurt us, right?
Yeah, it has.
Because we have taken this as law. We have taken this to be a keyboard bully.
Yeah.
We have taken this for the wrong message, and everybody want to go live. And I tell people, some things need to be kept at home. You know what?
Yeah.
There's some things we need to keep private. Now everything is like, everything's wide in the open, right?
Yeah.
We don't need everything open.
Yeah.
But kind of talk about from your generation, as a pastor, of a leader, what can you and other young pastors, because now we're having more young pastors now, right? What can you all do help? Because we need everybody on board. You know, our Mayor Paul Young had a new initiative about yes, right? Can we really truly say yes to our community? Yes, building our community? How do we build capacity in our community where we are?
I think it's vitally important that we cut the faucet back on.
Oh.
And when I say cut the faucet back on, it means keeping the flow of God's power, God's presence, and his provision.
Yeah.
And when God provides for me, he's not just providing for me, he's providing for every person that I come into contact with.
Right.
So people look at me oftentimes and they ascribe me to some degree of success, some degree of wealth, and some degree of having money. You're moving around a lot, you're meeting a bunch of different people. But the truth of the matter is, my success is completely, completely attributed to my ability to keep the water flowing.
Yeah.
So I keep my hands open, not so that God can continue to fill it, but so that I can continue to give.
Right.
Yes.
So the more that I give, the more God's continuing to fill.
Yes.
And I think when we ascribe to that ideology as young preachers, young leaders, young activists, young civic leaders, even when we subscribe to, will I take my shirt off and give it to my brother if he's cold?
Mm-hmm.
If I got a pair of shoes and my brother says he really likes those shoes, but he can't afford them, and I know I got another pair in the trunk, let me take these off and let me give you these.
Mm-hmm.
I think our ability to keep the water flowing of God's power, God's provision, and God's presence, I think we will increase the kingdom's influence here in the earth and here in the city of Memphis.
You said something, Stokes, and I need to ask this. You said something in the beginning. You talked about Dr. King, right? Mm-hmm. Now, here you are, Devontae. You said a key word that your generation is for real about is activism, mm-hmm. right? How do we make sure that activism in your generation is not said to be bad? Right? That's not saying to be a movement in our community. It's not saying that you're not hearing the will of God to act from a social justice perspective, right? Because Dr. King was a reverend and he used, many people don't want to, civil rights leader, but was it activism, right? Because the word is the word shift, you know, as generation, the word shift. So how do those correlate from your activism to what you said about Dr. King, how we can take that same energy and move our city?
Yeah, I think that it's so important that we canonize the essence of the civil rights movement and figure out a way to translate that into modern day struggles and modern day issues.
Mm-hmm.
We see that even in the scripture. We have to figure out a way to canonize the text,
okay.
to canonize the word of God so that it can be just as powerful in this generation as it was 50 years ago, 2,000 years ago, because the word doesn't change, the power doesn't change, time does.
Ooh.
I think that it's the same with activism. I think in this day and age, even, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happened just right here at this very location yesterday. I think the difference between the civil rights movement and the civil rights movement of today oftentimes is that we find that it doesn't have a moral compass. And so the people are righteously enraged. They are mad with reason. But it is mismanaged rage, and oftentimes we see that it lacks a moral compass. So Dr. King had a moral compass. He was a Christian. He was a believer. Mm-hmm. Malcolm X had a moral compass. He was Muslim. Mm-hmm. You know, all your great activists, they ascribed and submitted to a moral compass, meaning my rage does not exceed my faith.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people, they're so enraged that they don't know where to apply their faith, because that's the difference between the social justice movement of the 60s and the Black Lives Matter movement of the 2020s. There was an absence of the presence of God. There's an absence of a moral compass. And so now you have a generation of people who are righteously upset, righteously mad because of the systemic injustices that they are facing, but they don't have a faith to apply to that rage. And so now they look wild and their message doesn't translate over well to the generation that needs to hear it to make the change. And so now you just got two generations fighting.
You got to come on, Pastor Stokes. I know you got something.
I'm listening and I'm comparing what the ministry of Jesus and the movement of Dr. King when it came to the people. Jesus was had a social ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And he was concerned about people and how he went at to produce and to push the need for people. So I don't know how radical we get with trying to get from A all the way to Z,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be wise. You have to be wise. You got to be humble as a dove.
Mm-hmm.
You got to press toward what the Lord have given you and what the need is. The need is based upon righteousness. You know, you got to, we got to do right by people.
Yes, Lord.
We got to do right by people. And in order to do right by people, then we have to push our heart desire that we do right in what we're doing to be able to let the world see, hey, this is the calling, this is the mandate.
Yeah.
But as we move forward, we got to do right by people, amen. And it's our approach that we take. When the approach is given, you know, sometimes people won't take what you're saying out of content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people won't take what you're doing out of content, mm-hmm. because it's the way our approach is, our deliverance. So God so loved the world. Well, we hear that, but we don't see that.
Pastor, to your point, sometimes I think believers think, for God so loved the church that he gave his only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the word of the Lord.
No, he said
He said that he loves the world, that he gave his only begotten son.
Not the world. The world.
So country, y'all.
No, I'm just saying. I was raised by old folks. He loved the world. He loved the world. And he gave his only begotten son.
Yes,
and as he gave his only begotten son, and Jesus began to start his ministry, my mind goes to the man at the pool of Bethesda.
Yes.
That man was coming to that pool for 39 years, mm-hmm. looking for a healing.
Yeah.
And Jesus shows up on the scene one day, didn't even touch him. He just challenged his thinking.
Yes.
And said, pick up your bed and walk.
Yeah.
We didn't find out anything about the character and the integrity or the soul of this man until later in the text when Jesus mm-hmm. ran into him in the city. And he told him, well, go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus extended to him healing, restoration and deliverance before ever addressing the fact that he was a sinner.
Yes.
Right.
And the church is kind of backwards. It's kind of like, we want to know what your soul look like
mm-hmm.
before we extend to you the services of the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got to switch that.
But the old school church said you catch the fish and you clean him later.
Now that's good there.
What the old church say?
You catch the fish and you clean him later. Yeah, we're trying to catch clean fish. Yeah.
And that's what happens. I always say we have recycled people.
And it ain't going to
work.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say we have recycled people. They go from church to church hop, right?
Uh-huh.
Versus getting out here to the community, letting the community know how much we care,
yeah.
catch the fish, get them in, and then they'll be
yeah.
And while these are church hopping, we got a whole community. We got the world that's dying.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So we're missing out on the group that yeah. we really ought to be focusing on.
Regardless of what people think and feel about this city, I've traveled all over the world, and I will tell you, there is a great harvest
mm-hmm.
here in the city mm-hmm. of Memphis. The body of Christ has just got to get more creative, more innovative, and we've got to get on the ground and get to people where they are.
Let yeah. me tell you what would be best for the body of Christ is that we would go back to the old landmark. We just finished a 21-day fast. The first of every year, our church been doing it for about probably 15 years, that we would stay before the Lord. We would pray. And actually, when Jesus got up and met the fellas and told them, said, y'all go to another room, and then I told you in John 14, I'm gonna send you somebody that's going to help you in your ministry. We need some power.
Yeah.
We need some
demonstration.
Power. When we get power, then we won't be weak disciples.
Yeah.
That we can go out and we can win.
We can win souls.
And we won't be afraid.
Yeah.
Them little women back in the day said, hey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ain't you by the hood, boy? They didn't care nothing about you. You know what I'm saying?
You Jules' grandson. Yeah. Come here, give me a hug.
Yeah.
You going to come to church on Sunday? Yeah. We going to cook.
And when we told people that we were going to do something,
yeah.
we did it.
Oh, yeah,
we did.
Our word was our bond. My granddaddy, I love my daddy. He said, keep your word good because your name will take you where money won't.
For sure.
And I'm here to tell you, there was times in my life that all I had was a Talisa Franklin name, and they said, that girl gonna do what she say she gonna do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe I had a dad. I never forget one business that I didn't have the money for the stuff. I picked up the phone, had a commercial pill. Never knew the man a day in my life. I said, God said that I need this piece of equipment. I don't have the money right now, but I will pay you.
Mm-hmm.
God said the next day he was delivering that equipment because I had no money.
Praise God.
But everything that I told him I was going to do, I paid my debt. And that's the thing. We got to make sure our word is our word because we cannot. And that's why I think sometimes in the community, they have challenges with the church or the leadership.
Disappointment.
Because we don't keep our word.
Yeah, absolutely. Disappointment. Absolutely. I understand that.
But the community is always watching.
Yeah. Yes.
Somebody's always
for
watching.
Sure.
There are those who watch us.
Yes.
And they know our testimonies, and they know, and so we'll become a light. to a dark world. And as we do that, then we just have to get out there where folks can see us and do the work.
Do the work.
And that's how we reach back and get those. And then the Lord bless them. And then they reach out and touch somebody else. Amen. You know, and bring somebody else along with them. We just got to get back to doing what the Lord has called us. We are witnesses. He has called us to be witnesses. We got to come out the pulpits, the choir stands, and we got to take the ministry to the streets.
And I want to phrase this for Devontae, y'all. And I'm grateful. I am Dr. Talisa Franklin. You're listening to 91.7 WYXR FM. You can catch me each and every Wednesday at noon to 1. Let's have a talk with Talisa, y'all. We're just talking and figuring out solutions together, how we move our community. And today was literally a day I wanted to bring clergy, for clergy, because I grew up that the church was able to fix our communities. Because if you had a church on that block, that church took care of that block.
Absolutely.
Right? And I know Mayor Young has an initiative to own your block. But how we really can take this to the next level. And so, but I have also Devontae Hill. He was just walking through Crosstown. Y'all know we're in Crosstown. I'm very fluid. And I saw it, and I did like the old folks said, come on in here, baby. Come on in, baby, and let's have a talk. But Devontae, I want you to say and help us for these last 15 minutes or so. I want us to both talk. Now, what is some real-time solution your generation can do? Because one thing about your generation, my generation still like to pick up the phone and talk. Stokes' generation still like to pick up the phone and talk or go be in person. Your generation is that generation that wants to use social media to social justice to take things to the next level. What can that person that's in your generation hear and say, you know what? That is a good idea. I can try that. And let me see how I can do. Because we all know the problem, but how many are truly trying to find the solutions to fix our community?
Yeah, I think that my generation is seeking radical transformative transformation, meaning we have high expectations of people who have we have high expectations for people to utilize the power and influence that they have in the maximum capacity. So if you are a mayor, we are expecting you to step into the furthest extent of being a mayor and be as radical in that space as you possibly can. I think my generation is kind of fed up with the status quo.
Okay.
You can't, at this place in this stage of what we're facing, times are difficult.
Yeah.
We've never lived and experienced the times that we are experiencing right now. As my grandmother would say, we are experiencing wars and rumors of war.
Right, you know what I mean?
In a real way.
Yeah.
You know, we used to joke about a World War III. But we've never come as close to a World War III as we have come today.
Yeah.
And my generation understands that we have seen genocide.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen what is happening between Israel and Gaza. We've seen a pandemic that the world has never seen before.
Yes, yes.
We have experienced, we are experiencing in our country the greatest educational decline due to the pandemic that we've ever experienced ever in the history of our country.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in a radical time. And so my generation, while sometimes we can have a microwave type of mentality.
Oh, yes, y'all like the microwave.
And we don't necessarily, an air fryer mentality for the Gen Z. They got an air fryer. We got microwave.
Yeah.
My end. They got an air fryer. So I'm getting a little aged here, but I think that we have to also realize that the relationship between Paul and Timothy was intentional. Think about Paul being locked up in that jail cell, not able to travel the world and travel the globe to preach the gospel, and how young Timothy had to sit outside of that window sill to retain, as innovative and as prophetic as Timothy was, he still had a mandate that was a part of his mantle to sit outside of that windowsill to accumulate wisdom. And so we've got to realize that the relationship between the two generations is that the Timothys need Paul's wisdom. And Paul need Timothy's prophetic foresight.
Yes.
Because the elderly are seeing visions.
Yeah.
But the young people are being prophetic. And the two cannot happen without happening together.
Right.
And so our generation has got to learn the essence of process, how to navigate that process and utilizing our skills, our gifts, and our capabilities to apply to systemic processes that maybe maybe are calling for us to be innovative for. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're looking for in this season. It's just time for us to realize the essence of process and how we fit into that, how we shift those processes, and sometimes how we dismantle them.
Mm. And I always tell people, there's a process to God's promise.
Oh, yes.
But your generation, you're right. Yeah, I mean, microwave, air fry, we want it now.
Yep.
Because everything is at their fingertips of information. When I grew up, we had encyclopedias, right? If you bring an encyclopedia, I had an old phone book, and I said, son, find a number. And he was like,
Chat GPT.
What you talking about? And we had a big, even a map. You know, if you gave you a map book, you probably couldn't even find your way around.
Now, I'm a veteran, so I actually am
good. You know
good
how to do a map book?
I'm good with maps.
Okay.
Like, I can do a good map. In fact,
I ain't talking about online. I'm talking about the map book.
I can do a big old map.
Okay.
Go on and see where all the expressways connect across the country. And I'm also into trucking as well. So obviously, okay. I gotta have
well,
a
little. Well, most of your generation don't know.
No, they wouldn't know what to do with
say
a map.
Tell if the
you
truth.
Wouldn't know what to do with a compass if you set it in front of them.
Right,
you know,
right.
They wouldn't know what to do with street signs.
Come on.
You know, riding down the expressway, not knowing that this expressway is going to take me to Nashville. This expressway is going to take me to Jackson, Mississippi. They're trying to figure out, well, which one do
yes,
I take?
Because the GPS ain't talking to
me. Because the GPS is not telling me where to go. Well,
yeah, yeah.
That's why the signs are there.
Yeah.
For you to read.
I like that.
We're just having to adjust. Our generation is having to adjust and realize that God has not changed.
Yeah.
Time has. And even as time goes by, the Lord just simply reveals himself even the more. And we just have to continue to seek ye first.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God.
Come on,
and
preacher.
All of these things shall be added unto us.
Yeah.
And when we see God, he's going to let us know how fast we need to drive,
mm-hmm,
how slow we need to drive, when we need to sit outside of Paul's windowsill, when we need to be all gas and no brakes. We just have to seek ye first the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm,
and he'll add everything else to us.
I love it. So microwave, air fryer. Pastor Stokes, we had the stove. We had a boiling cup of water. what else we had? And we had a...
But we had trust in our God.
Uh-huh.
That part of that Dr. Watts said to serve this present age.
Yeah.
It's my calling to fulfill. You mentioned trust the process. You got to trust him in order to trust the process. God took a preacher that didn't want to go, that stuttered.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, go on down there anyway.
Yeah.
And so it started with the plagues, the fogs.
Mm-hmm.
It went on until Pharaoh said, finally, get them and go.
Yeah.
Get them.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. But that was through the process. And as they journeyed, they came to another stumbling block,
mm-hmm,
the Red Sea.
Yeah.
But you got to trust him when you can't trace him.
Yay.
Trust him when you can't trace him.
Yes,
that's
the
church there.
Yes. So he looked, and here come Pharaoh, and the mountains on both sides, what we're going to do. So he talks to the one who's head of the process. And so even if the generation learned to develop a trust with God, he'll party every Red Sea.
Hey, every Red Sea.
He will party
every Red Sea. Now, y'all know that preacher just done preach, right?
He'll party every Red Sea. Amen. Because the promised land is in view.
You closing.
Dr. King said the other day, said that I may not get that with you.
May not get that with you.
Hey.
But I've seen.
I've seen.
Get the mic in here. Yeah.
praise God. I'm done.
So, I know you all that's listening today, y'all see how the Lord orchestrated this thing. This is the Lord's doing.
Yes.
And it's marvelous.
It's marvelous in his eyes.
Because we were able to hear different perspectives,
mm-hmm,
of different age groups and people. I think for us to move to that next level, mm-hmm, level, pastors, you got to get all your age groups together.
Absolutely.
And let them be heard.
Absolutely.
Because what I hear is, you know, back in our generation, it was like, be quiet and don't say nothing, right?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Your generation got something to say. Either you going to let me say it to you, or I'm going to say it at you on social media.
And what, mm-hmm, you're saying need to make sense.
And
I'm going to ask you why.
My son, and anybody know, my son, Charles Edward, is a unique son. We'll go to church. He said, Mama. Well, none of that in the word. And I'm like, shut up, boy. Mama. No. And then it's certain preachers. He said, Mama, I'm not going to that church if he preaching that Sunday. And I'd be like, Charles Edward, because I would have never said that, right?
Yeah.
But now I get it, right? Yeah. Because they have information at their fingertips. Yeah. So they are fact checking everything we say on the pulpit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then they life checking everything they see in their eyes.
Yeah.
They see we say we do what we say one thing in the pulpit, and they do we do the very opposite outside the pulpit.
Whereas the previous generation, your pastor was all you had.
Yeah.
You couldn't jump on YouTube and hear yeah. Bishop Jakes. Couldn't yeah. jump on Facebook and catch live from the church across the country.
Uh-huh.
And so you honored and you revered your pastor because that's all the access you had. Yeah. That's the
so
voice
that's
that you
why
had.
It's important that when we mount the pulpit, instead of trying to make sure that we got a sermon built, you know, I try to make sure I got Gregory Stokes built.
A life lived.
Yeah. And when I do that, then... the average can pick up a Bible and read it, but when we gather, we need to hear a word from the Lord.
Hey.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Hey,
Dr. Franklin, I'm glad that you allowed me to come and and share this moment, this time with you guys.
You,
and I'm gonna slide to my next meeting. This was amazing. I appreciate this.
Give people how they can stay connected to your life ministry. Because you're a life ministry.
It's Devontae Hill everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Facebook is where I've been here lately, where we've been addressing real issues here in our city. But yeah. Devontae Hill everywhere.
Don't put nobody on the bridge today, boy.
Not today.
Don't do that now. If y'all remember Devontae, he led the folk to the bridge, and I didn't know I could pray so much. So I saw my boy on that bridge.
You told us you just got in from D.C.
Yes, sir.
That's good. You want to share something with us?
You said it again?
You want to share something with us?
We better get right with the Lord
get
quickly.
Right.
Get right with the Lord quickly.
My baby, I love you so
love
much.
You. Thank
Listen,
you, man.
Y'all,
appreciate
Pastor
you.
Stokes, will you share with our listeners why and how they can stay connected to all things you?
Okay.
Come on.
You want to...
How people can stay connected to you, because there may be a young pastor or a young preacher, or they may need to have a mentor that's going to be non-judgmental. Because a lot of times we feel our mentors, sometimes in a young generation, feel like they're judging us. And sometimes... I know I get it with some of my mentees. They're like, man, Doc, you doing this? I said, either you gonna love me now or you gonna love me later, but I ain't changing.
Right.
And then they'll come back and say, how you know? Because I've been here around the sun a few times and I've hit my head to that wall a few times and I don't want you to hit it and bruise yourself like I've been bruised.
I've always had a heart for young people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I tried to produce the atmosphere that would keep the door open.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a reputation in the city when it comes to senior ministers who have allowed young preachers an opportunity.
That you ain't never heard before preach.
Yes. And
that's a side note, y'all. I'm being very comfortable.
I can go back with some of our leading pastors across the United States and across the country, Frank Harris Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And so many others. I mean, these guys started as little boys preaching on a Coca-Cola stand. I gave them their first revival. Amen. Willie Jameson Jr., one of our great young preachers now, pastors, doing a marvelous job. And so I believe in giving young people opportunity. I can be reached at the Greater Paradise Baptist Church, Horn Lake and Mitchell Road, southwest part of the city. I'm G. Caraway Stokes on Facebook, amen. And I'm always out in the public, amen, working, amen. I shake a lot of hands at funerals because serving the bereavement is what I do, amen. I love serving, so people know that I'm not high. Sometimes I say, Stokes, I've been trying to get in touch. I said, I'll be at church every Sunday. You ain't tried that high, but I'm accessible.
Yeah.
You know, I'm accessible, so you can reach out to me. Amen. I've got to work on my messages. I don't go to message that much. I have a whole line. But anyway, you can get me at G. Caraway Stokes. You can send me a friend request. You can come by the church. Our service is at 10 o'clock on Sundays. By 11:30, we're gone now.
Yeah.
Amen. So you're going to have to get on in there. Look, Talisa, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. And it's my will just to keep serving.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be found faithful.
Yeah.
And I tell the people at Paradise that you really encouraged me. You said, Stokes, I believe you saved for real.
Let me tell y'all, this listening to Talisa Franklin, you can hear it, and I'm telling you, you take this check to the bank. I've never seen a man that has been more consistent with God like you. You have, I don't care what you're doing, you going to talk about Jesus. You going to sing about Jesus. You going to be comical. You going to try to make somebody laugh. But if you can help somebody.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have seen Pastor Stokes. He has a member that's at home, cannot get out. Pastor Stokes never talks about it, y'all. He goes to the grocery store.
Absolutely.
He gets that lady's medicine, and he sees her having a Sunday meal.
Yes.
I want to tell you thank you.
Oh, praise
because
God.
I would love that if I was in that situation, that my pastor would love me enough to still let me do what I do from home, but still make sure I be okay.
Praise
and
God.
There are so many things that you do in secret, and God is going to continue to openly reward. I've seen Pastor Stokes, if there is somebody that has bereavement and they don't know what direction, because we all know everybody ain't right when bereavement happens,
praise
right?
God.
But Pastor Stokes will take that family and make sure that family get the best that they can get before, so they can live. And thank you for being a voice. And then he's not afraid to tell a funeral home that you ain't doing that family right, right?
That's strong. Yeah, oh
because
yeah.
You could go along with the status quo, but you ain't going to let nobody get hurt in your presence.
Somebody got to live after the burial.
Come on now.
Praise God.
So, y'all, I'm telling y'all, I love y'all to life. Devontae said something about the moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get back to that.
Yes.
I mean, that was deep. I think I'm going to elaborate on it later.
Okay.
About the moral compass, y'all. Right now, we forget our morals. We forget who we are. We forget whose we are.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so we need to get back to who we know God has called us to be. We are wonderful and we are fearfully made. And there is nobody that can take away what God has already ordained for you to be. Listen, I am your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin, right here each and every Wednesday. Let's have a talk right here in Crosstown. I absolutely love it. So if you're passing through my window doing my air, you don't never know what I may say. Because I just feel like this Crosstown for me, it makes me feel good. It's a great place. I meet, network, have conversation, and most of all, love on somebody that probably just need a little loving. If you are on social media, make sure you stay connected to me. And if you are listening to the radio on tomorrow, and every day, y'all, catch me also on Hot 107 between DJ Q's show. I have two breaks in there. I give you some good, positive stuff. Because I made up my mind for the rest of my life, I'm going to love God, love his people, and speak positivity over my community. And ain't nothing nobody's going to do differently. Hey, I love you, baby. Absolutely, positively love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Make this day, make this moment, make this second the best ever. And learn how to be the best version of you, because everybody else is already taken. Be blessed is my prayer for you. Keep it locked right here to 91.7 WYXR-FM.
Can you spare a dime on something to me? Looking for work here all the week. Somebody help me find me a job. Don't care if the work is easy or hard. I'm here to make a new